Hey everyone, this is Sherry, and I am so happy to be here today with Allison Luderman. And Allison is the author of 3 books of poetry, an ebook of personal essays, and a number of plays. And any of you who have been following along with me for any length of time have likely heard me read some of Allison's poetry because I just adore her work. And I adore you, Allison. Hey, are you there?
Oh, it's mutual.
and I'm so happy that you're willing to get on the line with me. Just to fill people in a little bit, last week, Allison and I were just on a phone call together. And somehow, you know, the conversation just turned to celebrating the dark, which is something that, you know, I'm always interested in talking about how we can possibly bring joy into some of these dark places in our lives. And then, Allison, I remember, I think I was telling you about something around that, and you mentioned something like, wow, you know, that's kind of like dancing with the lights out, which I don't know if you remember saying that.
Yeah. I think we were talking about how can, you know, when the shadow, it's so interesting that we're having this conversation and the eclipse is going to happen in a few days, right?
That's right.
Yes. So I just want to notice that because it's like, so when the shadow is covering the sun and we can't see, we know it, theoretically it's there, but we're not feeling it, that old thing. How do we dance anyway and what's that like? And I think I even suggested, well, maybe you could tell your coaching clients to turn out the lights and dance in the dark because that could be a really interesting experience to, you know, I mean, in a soft room, you know, where you didn't get into hard edges, you know. But I did take a women's dance circle group one time where she had us put on blindfolds, and we danced with these blindfolds on, and we couldn't see, and the lights were down. And it was very profound. You know, it turns the dance inward in a way that...
Oh!
Yeah, it was great.
I love that. Yeah, and I'm loving that you brought the eclipse into this. And I don't have a bridge for what's next, but I know there was a bridge we went from that to somehow having this absolutely beautiful conversation about a gift that your stepmother gave you. Was that right?
Yeah, I can retrace a little bit. I don't know
okay.
if it's a bridge, but... you know, the conversation started because I reached out to you and I said, help, my brain is trying to eat me. And you were so sympathetic and empathetic and perfectly right there and present with me. And because, you know, sometimes that's what happens. You know, my brain is not my friend. It's always, sometimes it is, but ugh. And a lot of negative self-talk was just up and running and I couldn't seem to turn it around or quell it on my own. I'm so glad I reached out to you, and we talked and talked about a lot of things, and one thing that I ended up sharing with you was that when I was back visiting my dad and my stepmother in March, they organized a little poetry reading for me to give a poetry reading in their living room to some of their friends. So they invited their friends, come hear my daughter and my stepdaughter read, and my stepmother was really instrumental in this, and you know, and I'm a, you know, poet that I give readings. I mean, that's what I, one of the things I do for my work. So, and dad, my father shares my poetry, and she does too, with, you know, far and wide with all their friends. So people came who really wanted to hear me, and it was a very sweet reading. It was probably one of the most meaningful readings I've ever given, and I've read, you know, I read at the Freight and Salvage, and I read at Omega, I've read, you know, at Esalen,
yeah.
I've read a lot of places. But this, you know, to have my dad and my stepmother was just beaming love at me. She was just sitting, I don't know, not 10 feet away, just beaming at me the whole time. And it really kind of choked me up, and it was almost hard for me to receive because, you know, my mother died, and my mother and my relationship was very different, and I think my mother felt very scared and threatened by me being too visible. And when I would perform, you know, she would critique the performances, and she didn't want me to, I don't know, be one of, I guess, I don't know what she was thinking. Did she not want to be one of those obnoxious kids that is always drawing all the attention? And she didn't want me to overshadow my younger brothers and sisters, or she was jealous. I don't know what was going on, but it was very, very hard for my birth mother to celebrate that part of me. And so I learned to kind of pull it in, you know. And I'm a big woman. I mean, I'm, you know, 5'9". I have big hair. I have kind of big energy. And, I have learned in life that I don't want to, you know, just walk into a room and, like, be the biggest thing there. I need to pull it in. Ah. I do. I pull it in a lot in daily life. And almost it's become like a habit to pull in. And but when I'm invited to perform, you know, I can be big. And this was just so incredible because it was a family thing where I was being invited to be big. And I should say that in my family, you know, there's four kids on my dad's side and 6 kids on my stepmother's side. So there's 10 kids in my generation, and then there's like a dozen or more grandchildren. So there's like a lot of people, and so nobody can be, you know, take too much spotlight because there's just a lot of, you know, there's not room. So being offered the spotlight and really given the spotlight, given the mic for, you know, an hour or two was, I was weeping up in my bedroom afterwards. I was just weeping. It meant so much.
Oh, Allison. Oh, I love hearing this again. And there's so many pieces, which I guess is why this makes such a beautiful story, right? Like,
right.
There's so many directions to go. And I remember, too, what happened was I immediately went to, and I love this, that's not where we ended up, but where I first went to was like, oh, my goodness, that was such a beautiful gift for her to give you.
Right.
That I made that presumption that she knew it would be really meaningful for you to have this reading and, you know, but that's not actually where we went with it, right?
Right. No, she didn't do it because she was trying to do something good for me, although it was really good for me, but she did it because she wanted to offer a gift to her community. She wanted it for herself. It was like I was doing her a favor and my father a favor, which made it so much better for me because if somebody was like, oh, Allison, I want to heal this psychic wound that you've been carrying around for 50 years, so I'm going to organize this thing so that you can heal, I would have been like, yuck, no, I was, you know. But she was like, would you please do this for us because we really, you know, and they loved it. And, you know, their friends were thanking me like I had given them something of value. And that made it really incredible for me.
Right. And so that's like part of the multi-layers, the multi-facets of this is that, you know, here she is. And I can imagine because I'm a huge fan of you, you know, of your poetry. And to imagine asking you to do a reading, I'd be like, so there's that piece of it. And then there's the piece of knowing your side of it, of like what a wonderful gift that was. And so where I went to when we had that conversation, I'm going right there again, is what a gift it is when we're really just sort of in the moment, true to whatever energy is going on, that like that she was able to ask, and what a gift that was for her to ask for something that she really wanted.
Yeah, yeah. It was, and I mean, it was an honor. You know, I felt very honored to be asked. And, you know, we brought it around in our conversation last week or whenever it was that you ended up feeling like it was a gift to you that I reached out to ask you for help. And, you know, I had felt like, and my inner dialogue was, well, Sherry does this for a living. She's a coach. The last thing she needs is somebody that she's trying to be friends with to, you know, be like, Sherry, help me with my psychological difficulties. Like, no, you know, she's off duty. And, you know, I think my stepmother also, and my father probably also, and I, because they said something like this, you know, like, well, it's a busman's holiday, you know, like, you still have to drive the bus even when you're on holiday, and like, but it was completely different to do it for family and in this intimate setting to do, you know, what I've done publicly for a long time.
Yes, and, you know, this is so, I just love this because what I'm seeing in this moment is it's like this gift after gift after gift after gift. I just feel like it's this almost this it probably an infinite thing right now. In that you're right. Like so, her asking, you know, was such a gift to her because she got to hear, you know, have you do this wonderful like poetry reading. But then it was a gift for you. And then you, first of all, you calling, right? You asking me was a gift. It was a gift for me. Like you know, we all want to feel, I think, you know, I hope I'm not projecting too much, but I think we love to feel like we can connect with people and be there. And our call not only was for me like it's such a great connection to you, but, you know, sparks were going all over the place about, you know, things about celebrating in the dark and things about gifts and things that were very helpful for me, you know, as far as the depth of my own work.
We reconnect. Yeah, it was a great conversation. And I think what we did was we reconnected you a little bit, or you got reconnected in the course of the conversation, more to the sort, back to the source of what started you doing this work in the first place. And that it wasn't, you know, for love of a craft projects or anything. It was, you know, even though you're good at that and you do beautiful stuff, you know, but it was really the heart of it was your own wrestling, as we all do. We all have to wrestle with, you know, the angel who's, you know, our deepest, darkest core, you know, pain. And if we wrestle honestly and completely, we come out with a gift, you know, maybe a wound that is also a gift.
Yes. And I'm so appreciative of your ability to see that and to hold it. And of course, we've known each other for a long time. And so you had that backstory. And it did really reconnect me in a deeper way. All of this is, I mean, right now having this conversation, that it's so important for us to remember, because it's, I know from my own experience, like when I'm in the dark, when I'm feeling lost or just like you said, I've actually quoted you a few times now because I love that. My brain is eating me for lunch. It's like, it's so good. Like,
It feels like that, right? Yeah.
It does. And when we're in that place, I find it can be especially hard to ask for anything.
Right, because there's shame. You know, I should be over this by now. Why am I still dealing? I know this stuff is crap. I already know. I know better than this, but I'm still here.
Exactly. And I just would bet, you know, that most of us, especially those of us who have, you know, I feel like I've lived a good many years, you know, that it's like, you're right, that it's like that shame comes up. And just that, you know, for me, it's like there's just, my Zen teacher has this saying, you know, don't let the voices get you alone in the dark. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a way in which, whatever you want to call it, you know, conditioned mind, ego, the devil, whatever, that it does like to get us alone, because then it can do its job a lot better.
You know, I've been so intrigued, and I want to talk to you and you know, keep talking to you about this idea of the shadow, the devil, you know, this force that's impersonal that visits us, you know, most of us, and it certainly has visited me from time to time, and we engage in this life or death battle for our own souls, for our sanity, for our happiness, for life, you know, and it... it's a really interesting concept to me, and it feels true to my life, and it also feels contrary to the kind of rational, scientific background that I come from, but it feels very true.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, no matter what anybody believes or, if any of this resonates, I guess to me the main point is that whatever we can do when we're in the dark to ask for what we need, to reach out.
Yes.
That if we can find that, whatever it takes to do that, that's where, like, sort of circling back to this whole concept that asking is a gift.
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, it's in the Bible, ask and it shall be given. And the idea, I know there are stories in the New Testament about just people ask and it's done unto them just by asking, you know, just the asking alone completes the, you know, that's all they have to do in a way. And I think there's something real there, like to articulate what you want for yourself is a gift already, just to be able to put it into words, I want this. And
yes,
you know, sometimes we're afraid to do that because I think we're afraid, like, if I really say it, then I'll feel the pain of not having it or it's impossible or whatever. But I think it's such a crucial step to just say, please, I want this, and ask.
Yes.
Feel that you're worthy of even asking, you know.
Right. And I think that, at least in my experience, that there's something in the asking itself which has to do with connection.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, oftentimes connection feels like that's what saves me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whatever the connection is, that I'm no longer like just drifting off alone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And somebody hears me and sees me, and my desire is not bad, you know, even whether it can be fulfilled or not, you know, whether, and I'm not bad for having this desire, you know, and sometimes also I've felt foolish and ashamed for having desires that feel, I don't know, impossible or inappropriate or, you know, why don't you just get over it or whatever. And they don't go away, the things we really desire. They're there, and I think we have to honor them.
Well, and it brings me back to, which is probably why I was so fascinated with when you use that expression, you know, core distress, or a lot of people, I don't know, they might call it like a childhood wound or, you know,
right. Whatever,
you name it. But I think it is true that when we're able to just kind of, like, this is what I felt like with you. We were able to sort of just both start talking about the darkness, and eventually we were laughing. And I think what happened was there was just this shared humanity of like, yeah, I got mine. You got yours.
Right.
Yeah, okay. You know.
And it takes away some of the shame, you know, because shame grows in the dark. And so the shame of, you know, me at this age and stage of my life where I've, you know, some people look to me as a teacher, and yet I am still wrestling on a really basic level with, you know, my brain is trying to eat me, and I don't always feel like I know my purpose, and, you know, it doesn't matter that I've published 3 books or that, you know, you'd think that that would help. You would think, it does help. I think it does help me a little, but it's really, that's all on the outside, and, you know, the inner is still needs its work, and sometimes it's, you know, feels really messy in there.
And, you know, speaking of someone who does follow you, you know, both as a teacher and I feel like as a friend, but speaking from that student-teacher place, I appreciate when people are still in the mess. I don't expect anyone to ever, quote-unquote, be done. And I think you and I were talking about this, too, that it's like, you know, it's just, it's a lifetime journey of awareness and self-compassion. And, you know, when we get to share it together, it changes everything for me.
Yes. Yeah, it really, really does. And, you know, as you know from, because you're a teacher too, it's like there are times I sit with my students and I'm amazed because, you know, they're far ahead of me in some aspect or, you know, whatever. There's a place where the teacher-student thing kind of dissolves and you're just like looking at, you know, whatever's coming through either or both of us at that moment. And it's humbling and astounding.
Yeah. And, you know, Allison, what I just saw in that I think for me is the important thing is that I think when people set out to quote unquote teach or, you know, to whatever it is that you're going to put out
right.
in the world, whether it's your poetry or, you know, like I do, that what it's really doing, I think, is just creating a space.
Yeah.
It's saying, just like we're doing right now, like you and I didn't really know for sure who we were going to talk about, but we knew we wanted to have a container set up so that, you know, something could come forward about darkness and gifts and asking. And
Yes. And
we created a space, and then it's just sort of like, okay, like, what's going to happen?
And then it came, because it wanted to come, and it was all right there anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think definitely creating a space, but it isn't a just, you know, I mean, it takes...
Oh, yeah, thanks.
...to, you know, to create a space. I mean, but I'm just saying that because it seems... like not much, like, oh yeah, all you have to do is sit there and hold space, but honestly, you know and I know that there's a lot of work, and not just, you know, there's the outer work of sort of making sure that everybody feels seen and heard and safe and valued, and, you know, that the physical space invites that the verbal space invites that the, you know, aura is there, and then you're also doing your own inner work, you know, trying to figure out when to shut up and when to say something and, you know. But a lot of that work is subtle. It, you know, it could look like hardly anything, you know, like, are you, you know, what are you doing? But it is actually, you know, something. And I'm just saying it because I don't always value or recognize how much I do to myself. You know, sometimes it's like, well, yeah, the class went well, but, you know, so what? All I did was sit there. They're, you know, they're great people. Like, what the hell? But it did take something to make that group come together and gel in that way and provide safety for people to be able to, you know, unearth their stories in that level.
Yeah, and I'm very, very glad that you pointed that out, because I think it's all that's so true. And with this conversation, too. You know, this conversation happened because we both spent a lifetime of sort of looking at and being in these various places of darkness and light and reaching out.
Yeah, 100 years of inquiry. Yeah, 100 years of self-inquiry went into this, 50 on your side and 50 on my side.
And then I could go on and on with you forever, and maybe we'll just get back on and have a whole different kind of conversation another time. But I'm so grateful to have this time. And is there anything else that feels like, wait, this needs to be a part of this conversation before we close?
Not that I can think of, but I think my resolution is to close the circle. Well, I did write my stepmother a letter and told her how much her love and support meant to me, and I know that meant a lot to her, and I'm going to continue to follow up by expressing in writing to her and verbally, you know, what a gift she has been in my life, you know, very specifically. And this is me being a writing teacher now, the more specific you can be when you appreciate people or let them know, I think that's, you know, that adds to the value of it, because it's not just I love you because you're a nice person, but it's like you did this thing, this specific thing that only you do that is so crucial for me, and it kind of highlights it, you know?
Oh, I'm so happy. First of all, I'm happy that you sort of brought it back to that gift from your stepmother and the gift you gave her, but that appreciation piece, oh, that's so important. And I love it, the specific appreciations.
Yeah, thank you. And it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
I love it. And I hope that this has been helpful or interesting for people listening. And let's do it again soon.
Yes, I'd be delighted.
All right. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you. Have a great day, Sherry.
You too.
Bye-bye.